My employees just got iPhone 12 on Verizon 5G, the 5G business has been waiting for. We download huge files on the go and use multicam video conferencing. Plus, with the coverage of 5G nationwide and more cities, ultra-wideband, it's 5G from the network businesses rely on.
Get iPhone 12 Pro Max, the ultimate iPhone for business. Switch and save up to $1,000 with qualified trade-in. 5G nationwide available in over 1,800 cities with number transfer. Terms apply. Limited time offer.
This is your tech news briefing for Tuesday, December 1st. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Bitcoin is back in the headlines again. The infamously volatile cryptocurrency hit a new all-time high yesterday, its first record since 2017. With markets on the rise, investors are looking to take some chances with their money. Our reporter Anna Hertenstein will tell us more about what's been driving the surge after these headlines. The Federal Communications Commission will get a new leader next year. The current chairman, Ajit Pai, says he'll be leaving the telecom regulator in January, clearing the way for President-elect Joe Biden to select a new head for the agency. Here's our reporter Ryan Tracy with more.
Ajit Pai is probably best known for dismantling net neutrality rules that were put in place during the Obama administration. These regulated how internet service providers treat traffic on their networks. And we definitely expect whoever Joe Biden chooses to lead the agency to go back to some version of those rules once they get in power. Another shift we could see is on broadband. You know, both the Trump administration and the future Biden administration definitely want to connect everyone to the internet. That's a pretty popular idea in general. But we could see a different emphasis. You know, Republicans focused a lot in the last 4 years on rural areas where networks needed to be built out. And we could see Democrats focus more on urban areas where the issue is often that people can't afford internet access.
The Justice Department filed a long-awaited antitrust lawsuit against Google last October, the most aggressive U.S. legal challenge to a tech company's dominance in decades. Now, we report that federal and state antitrust authorities are preparing as many as 4 more lawsuits against Google, as well as Facebook, by the end of January. People familiar with the matter say officials are probing whether the tech giants abused their power in the internet economy. Both companies have denied doing so, saying they operate in highly competitive markets and that their mostly free services benefit consumers. Speaking of Facebook, the company says it'll buy Customer, a startup that specializes in customer service platforms and chatbots. People familiar with the matter say the deal values Customer at over $1 billion. Consumers have been increasingly communicating with companies via messaging rather than calling, and the acquisition is being seen as part of Facebook's effort to help companies do business on its platform. And General Motors and the electric truck maker Nikola are significantly scaling back a planned partnership. Under a revised agreement, GM will still supply fuel cell technology to Nikola, but it'll no longer take a stake in the company, nor will it help develop and manufacture a new type of truck for Nikola. Here's our reporter Mike Colias with more on the shift.
The discussions between the companies was a tentative agreement they announced in early September, and that got derailed and put on hold because of a short seller's report that came out on Nikola just days after the GM deal was announced, kind of questioning a lot of what the company's founder, Trevor Milton, had said about the readiness of Nikola's technology. You know, Nikola has disputed those claims and said it was misleading, but nonetheless, it drew a couple of federal investigations, an SEC investigation, Department of Justice that we've learned. And so it sort of put a chilling effect on those talks, and they kind of went back to the drawing board. Within a few weeks, Milton left, and it just became this much more scaled-down agreement.
Shares of Nikola fell nearly 27% on the news. All right, coming up, there's a new all-time high for the price of Bitcoin. We'll break down what's driving the cryptocurrency higher after the break.
My employees just got iPhone 12 on Verizon 5G, the 5G business has been waiting for. We download huge files on the go and use multicam video conferencing. Plus, with the coverage of 5G nationwide and more cities, ultra-wideband, it's 5G from the network businesses rely on.
Get iPhone 12 Pro Max, the ultimate iPhone for business. Switch and save up to $1,000 with qualified trade-in. 5G nationwide available in over 1,800 cities with number transfer. Terms apply. Limited time offer.
At the beginning of 2017, the price of one Bitcoin was around $1,000. By that October, it was at $5,000. Then around $10,000 by the end of November, before hitting an all-time high of $19,783.21 in mid-December. We now know that that was a bubble. Bitcoin prices crashed shortly thereafter, and the cryptocurrency fell off a lot of people's radars for a while. But now, Bitcoin is back in the headlines again. Yesterday, it hit a new high, $19,850.11 to be precise. Its first record since that dizzying rise in 2017, according to CoinDesk. Our reporter Anna Hertenstein has been writing about this, and she joins me now to talk more about the milestone. Anna, thanks so much for being here.
Hey, it's great to be here.
All right, Anna, so what can you tell us about this latest rise?
So this year, we've seen the price of Bitcoin nearly triple. And just since early September, it's gone up by about 97%. And just on Monday, we saw it rally more than 15%. So there's been some pretty significant climbs. It's been pretty crazy to watch. But at the same time, it is still really volatile. Last week, it fell more than 10% in a single day. So you really have no guarantee that it'll keep going up.
So we mentioned that Bitcoin crossed that new high on Monday. What is the significance of this milestone, and what can we make of the renewed interest from investors?
So this surge comes amid a wider rally across markets. You had the S&P 500 and the Nasdaq set new records on Friday. We had the famous Dow 30,000 earlier last week. So you were seeing this big rally across markets from this combination of optimism about vaccine developments, people looking ahead into next year, expecting the world to go back to normal pretty soon, and putting more and more money into riskier stuff. And Bitcoin is one of them.
And it's not just that. Cryptocurrencies have also come a long way in terms of gaining some more mainstream backing lately, right?
So it's also gotten a lot easier to trade Bitcoin. As of pretty recently, you can buy and sell Bitcoin on PayPal. Also, there's a bunch of financial products that have exposure to Bitcoin, from ETFs to things like listed trusts, options, there's all kinds of stuff. You even have Fidelity, one of the world's largest asset managers, which now has a digital assets brokerage that will also store Bitcoin for you. So you see a lot more people getting involved because they're more comfortable trading, because there's now these more mainstream players involved and familiar infrastructure.
You know, Anna, we've also seen governments spend trillions of dollars to prop up their economies during the pandemic. And some investors have also turned to Bitcoin as a hedge against inflation. Can you explain how that works?
Sure. So essentially, you have some kinds of investors which are looking at what central banks are doing this year. And they're putting so much money into the system, printing a lot of money. And people are getting a bit worried that this could potentially cause inflation. It hasn't yet, but they're looking into next year and wondering, can this potentially happen? There's a bunch of different ways to deal with this, and buying gold is one of them. But some people are also buying Bitcoin as like a kind of digital gold. And as a currency, it's so volatile that nobody really wants to trust that its price is going to stay in a range where it makes sense to actually use it as a payment. But as a store of value, it does make sense for some people.
But what's the logic there? You know, Bitcoin is really volatile, as we've talked about. Wouldn't that be kind of risky?
Yes, absolutely. Its price would potentially, this is what people believe, adjust with inflation. So as prices rise up of everything else, the Bitcoin price would rise with it. That's the logic behind it.
So with this latest uptick, are we expecting Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin to become an everyday digital payment option for lots of consumers?
So you have some people who are getting more into it. As I mentioned earlier, it is increasingly possible for people to use it as a payment method. PayPal is allowing people to buy and sell on their platform, as is Square. So you're seeing these big payments companies, which are essentially giving the cryptocurrency a vote of confidence. So you do have the infrastructure in place. However, it's still a very small market. The entire value of all the Bitcoins in the world is still, it's around $330 billion. So that's a lot smaller than just the market cap of Apple, and it's a lot smaller than any other asset class. That's something you have to keep in mind as well, that you can see these rallies from a relatively small number of people buying.
All right, that's our reporter, Anna Hertenstein. Anna, thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks so much.
That's it for today's tech news briefing. You can find more tech stories on our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, please do rate and review us in your app store. It really does help. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.